Welcome back to Don't Call It a Book Club. My name is Luke.
My name is Dan.
Today we have finished The Watchers.
Mm-hmm.
Dan, coming up on Halloween. Mm. So we've got the book covered.
And quite the spooky ending.
Yeah, very much so. Very much so.
Reminder again.
Yeah. Oh yeah, yeah. Let's do. I'll do a quick reminder that we've finished the book, and then next week for the grand finale for spook season, we're going to be watching the movie that recently came out of The Watchers, and also reading your creepypastas that you need to send us on the Discord.
Yeah, get those on the Discord. Otherwise, I'm just going to give Luke a bunch of creepypastas that I've read, and he's going to tell me if they're he's going to tell me how bad they are, frankly, is what's going to happen.
Both good options. Mm-hmm. But Dan, can you get us warmed up for the book?
I can get you warmed up, Luke. I have a question for you, mm-hmm. because I've been walking around my neighborhood seeing a lot of folks with Halloween decorations.
Okay.
What's the most insane holiday to decorate your yard for?
The most insane holiday.
Okay. Yeah. What holiday, if you saw somebody that had, like, if you saw that somebody had decorated their yard in celebration of this holiday, would you be like, huh, that's, what?
Okay.
Sure.
Okay. Let me give you acceptable ones first so that we can rule them out.
Right. Clearly, there's a few that are like the classics.
Clearly, Halloween.
Yeah.
And Christmas are the big two.
Yep. Those are the heavy hitters.
I could argue that maybe you throw in Easter as like a distant third.
Easter definitely. Now, 4th of July is a common one too.
Okay. Sure. 4th of July, actually. Yes.
And then sometimes you get like Memorial Day / Veterans Day as like
throw up American stuff.
Mm-hmm,
sure.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But then Luke, we get into some holidays that, frankly, I think the decorations could be a little troubling. For example, how are you celebrating MLK Day with the yard decorations?
That's hard to decorate for sure. I feel like we have a lot of them that would be like kind of offensive, maybe.
Yeah, correct. Like Columbus Day, are you just going out front and like shooting your landscaping crew and then being like, get off my property, this is mine.
Right. I feel like, what do you do for Thanksgiving?
Big turkey. Here's the problem, though, and this is true about Thanksgiving in general. This is not a hot take at all. This is probably the coldest take of all time. Christmas keeps creeping on Thanksgiving's flavor.
Yep.
Such that people start decorating for Christmas like November 1. And so I feel like Thanksgiving decorations don't really make the cut for most people.
Mm-hmm. But I feel like there's an argument that makes them more insane.
Or does it make the people who decorate for Christmas November 1st more insane?
Because, yes. Okay. Those are already insane. But like, I feel like it's a big ask to actually, I feel like Thanksgiving is maybe less weird than I am.
I think so too.
Now that I think about it.
I think this is also starting to get at another question, which is how early can you decorate for a holiday? Because in my neighborhood, people started decorating for Halloween before we'd even gotten into October.
That's pretty early.
Yes, I agree. And my question is, how early is too early? Is that too early for Halloween?
This
Does it have
be...
to be October?
I feel like it maybe has to be October.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the thing. For me, I actually don't mind an early setup, mm-hmm. even for Christmas. Because then it's just like more time with it.
I'm actually on board with this because I think you spend a lot of time decorating. You buy a lot of goods. I don't want these to be single-use consumer items. Like, I want you to use them for, like, months at a time if you're going to spend money on, like, fucking plastic skeletons or some shit. Like, Like, I want you to go nuts with it. I want you to have this for more than like a week on your
property. Well, okay. I think there's a difference here. Like, for Halloween, mm-hmm. I'm actually less on board with those being up for a long time.
Oh, wow. You get too spooked?
I get too spooked. Mm-hmm. And it's also just like, it's a little bit, it's too themed.
What?
Okay, let me rephrase this. It's like they don't look good.
Oh, 100
in a vacuum.
100%. There's like some inflatable Halloween decorations on my street. One of them is like a dragon that just has its foot on a pumpkin, and you're like, okay, I guess that's Halloween, sort of, because you have a pumpkin in it. But that's just a dragon.
Whereas I feel like most Christmas things like kind of make you feel cheerful regardless. And by that, I just mean like a bunch of lights.
Okay.
What it is.
Sure. A bunch of lights.
So like I would rather see like cheerful lighting for an extra several weeks than like there be more fake spider webs for an extra several weeks.
Yeah, this is true. I agree with you here. I also think that there's been a surge in inflatable Halloween decorations. Mm-hmm. Like they are everywhere on my street this year for some reason.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
I think that they're some of the worst Halloween decorations, actually. It's like so low effort. None of them look very good.
I agree with you. Yes.
I'd much rather you put a bunch of fake cobwebs all over your yard, even though they don't look like... Who are you fooling with that? Those don't look like spider webs. Stop it.
I love the implication that you're actually trying to fool people.
You're trying to make them scared. You're trying to terrify them that the big spider lives in your yard.
Right. It's tough because where I live... at least my immediate surroundings doesn't get very, very dressed up for Halloween. And by that, I mean the houses, not the people. Mostly because it's like a lot of apartment living and younger people. And so there's just not the opportunity necessarily. Mm. And so I kind of miss out on it a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't anticipate ever really doing it because it feels like I don't really care that much about it. Like, I like carving a jack-o'-lantern. I like putting that up front. That's fun.
Yeah.
But I don't want to clean up a bunch of fake cobwebs.
Right. I agree.
What they really need, they really need some biodegradable fake cobwebs. This is, oh my God, Luke. Are you kidding me? This is it.
Biodegradable.
No one can steal this idea. Okay. Everybody, I came up with the idea first. Nobody's allowed to take it. But you make them biodegradable. I claimed it. You make them biodegradable such that you just can't put them up too early. Because if you do, they're gone by the time Halloween rolls around. So you have on the package, it's like, will last guaranteed 3 weeks. And then one day over, you hit day 22. And they're gone. And it's like, I shouldn't have put them out in September.
Okay. I'm here for that. That's a good product.
This is what I mean. I don't want to have to clean them up.
All right. I'll pay a premium for that. Let's start just a biodegradable decorating company.
See, Luke, the problem with this, though, is Halloween decorations traditionally have been biodegradable. We've just added a bunch because of jack-o'-lanterns. They're
jack-o'-lanterns, okay.
Correct. Yeah. So that's just what would happen. And now capitalism has been like, what if it was made out of plastic, though? And everyone was like, ooh, plastic, you say? Then I can put them up in September and use them next year.
Pretty cool.
Yeah.
You're saying we must return.
I'm saying we need to return. Get rid of our plastic pumpkins, our plastic skeletons. Get me the real artifacts.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure you had a relative die this year. Get their bones.
Yeah, get that bone. Oh, don't say that. Get those bones. Get those webs.
Go get out there in the woods with a stick. Collect some real spider webs.
Yes.
You know what? No, Luke. I'm deciding this is going to be the hill I'm dying on. If you're going to commit to this, you need to go collect some real spiders and put them in your fucking front yard. Okay?
Okay.
None of this pussy shit where you're just like putting out fake cobwebs and like pipe cleaner spiders out there. No. Make your yard actually scary. Okay?
Right.
Get some real spiders.
Cultivate some big boys.
Real spiders. Yeah. Go to the butcher, get some real bones. Have some wolves living on your property for a month.
Yes. Of course.
Make your yard actually scary.
I like the wolves idea. That's huge.
I mean, the wolves will come. If you build the bones, the wolves will come for the bones.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, get a bunch of beef bones from the butcher, throw them around your yard.
Yep.
The wolves will come.
Do it, folks. You've got a week. Wait, when does this come out? You've got a few days.
You've got less than a week. Go get some real bones. I'm sick of this fake shit. This is why, Luke, we got to get rid of the plastic in our lives, okay?
Mm-hmm.
If you can reuse your decorations from year to year, you're doing it wrong.
This is how we save the environment.
No more big skeletons. You're not allowed to buy a big skeleton anymore from Lowe's or Home Depot.
You gotta make it.
You have to make it. You have to dig up the bones and put them together to make it. Consensually, though, you can't illegally take bones. You have to get them from people who consent to this. So you're going to have to do some work ahead of time. You're actually going to have to put in the legwork to get people to change their last requests about what's done with their bodies so that you can do this with the bones.
But it's worth it, folks.
Think, oh my gosh. You can also really look down on anybody who has the fake plastic ones because you can be like, oh, you couldn't convince any of your really good friends to let you use their bones when they die? Must not have really cared about you that much then. My friends let me use their bones.
That's right.
Mine's also a memorial to my best friends who it's all really, mysteriously died this year.
It's very tasteful also.
Yes, of course. Don't ask why they all died this year. There was a
skiing
accident.
The wolves are gnawing on them and I told them that would happen.
Right. They consented to it. I have the forms. They're in my house though. You have to get past the wolves to see it. Anyway, so please sign right here on this clipboard for me to use your bones next year,
folks. I'm sure you've been wondering why we've been hosting this podcast all this time. We've been trying to build a relationship with you all, and would love for you to sign over your bones.
Actually, Patreon members unknowingly have already signed over their bones. It was part of the terms of service for
that's correct. If
signing up for a Patreon,
if you recall. That was big in the terms. Yeah,
it was a part of our terms. Was you sign over your bones for our spooky Halloween decorations? But like we said, they're gonna be tasteful. Okay,
be tasteful. Yep, you'll be part of something bigger.
No crude poses. Okay, I've seen some skeletons in crude poses. No,
make sure you die in a respectful pose.
Folks. That's all we ask. That's all
that's
we
all.
Ask.
It's not a lot. It's not a lot.
Listen, you have to die in a respectful pose and also preferably somewhere where we can access your body within 24 hours because decomposition is a real problem for this stuff.
Yes.
We don't want these to be stinky bones, okay? I'm sick of people giving me stinky bones.
That's a real problem.
Hold on, guys. We need you to think about the fact that these are going to be outside of our homes. They can't smell like a gross body, okay?
That's right.
So just think about us for a change. Anyway, speaking of thinking about us, should we talk about this book now?
Let's talk about this book. It is Halloween related, so there's a transition there to be made.
I got the transition. Luke, I got the transition right here, actually.
Okay.
How was the professor able to keep hiring people for this job?
Okay, so...
Because word had to get around.
This. Yeah.
What this? So, hold up. Before we get deep into this, we've talked about a lot of silly things in books on this pod over the years. A lot of silly things. Upon first read of this, this feels like the silliest thing an author has ever put in a book that we've read.
It does.
Like, we have to talk about it because the professor just explains that he kept hiring people. Like, every day they would die and he would have to hire a whole new crew.
The mechanics of this are wild.
Like, I get that Indeed exists, but, like, they're gonna stop sending you people after a while.
The only little, like, throwaway line that we get that helps him is that he offered them a lot of money because he knew that they were not gonna be alive to collect it.
Yeah. But, like, this doesn't work when when you say, hey, some guy offered me a job. Who is in my, some guy in my community who is hiring construction workers offered me a job. But all of my friends who are also construction workers who have gone to work for them never came home.
Right. Does no one looking into this? Was he required to be part of this job is you cannot have a family or anyone that will ask about you.
Right. He has to collect your cell phones before you, before you get out there. I guess that the watchers kind of take care of that for you.
Right.
But like what these people, the government would be like, where are these people? They're not paying their taxes, right? Like at the very least.
Yeah.
People are going to come looking. Is he paying them cash? Because he also, if he has payroll, like, what?
No, he's not paying them.
Right, but he, listen, Luke, listen. He hires me for a job, right?
Yeah.
Is he telling me he's going to pay me cash? Because otherwise I have to give him documentation.
Right.
For my employment. Now, maybe he's not ever submitting that documentation, which is fair, I guess. But, like, how many... Okay, we need to do the math here. We have to do the math.
Yes, yes.
Okay. So, the labor that he is getting done is to move a shipping container into the forest. I'm going to say, let's use, like, a reasonable guess of how far that he has to move it. And let's just say he's got to move it, like, fuck. It has to be at least a mile, right?
Oh, way farther than a mile. Okay, way farther.
It has to be more than a mile, too, because the car, like, our main character never goes back for her car.
Right.
And so it has to be so far away.
Well, so they famously, like, they you can only barely make it to this place, right?
Yes. Okay. Do we say, like, 10 miles, then, is a reasonable distance?
Yeah, I think so. Because it's basically like, well, how long did...
Because, okay, listen. Maybe, okay, let's say 15 miles, and we're being generous if we say 15 miles. Because I think you could walk 15 miles in a day pretty easily.
Yeah.
But, you know, the days are shorter. Maybe they're not walking super, like...
Let's be super conservative and say 10 miles. Let's stick with 10.
Okay, great. 10 miles. So, what do they have to do? They have to move a shipping container 10 miles.
By hand,
because no machines work. They also have to move all of the equipment that goes in this shipping container, including like shelving, food, computer terminals, cameras, all that stuff. Then, Luke, that's the easiest part of this, you realize. Yes. Because then they have to move tons of concrete. They're not doing this with a concrete mixer. They're moving bags of concrete by hand to the job site.
Yes.
Okay. Then they are building a like a 3-bedroom structure out of cement with like bulletproof glass. that they also are moving. This is like, I think at one point they talk about how it's a solid pane of glass, like a one giant pane of glass in that one room.
I think so, yeah.
This thing is heavy as shit, guys. So, now we need to start coming up with numbers for how many people are involved in this process. Let's figure out the shipping container first. So, in order to move this shipping container 10 miles by hand, okay, how many people do we think it takes to lift a shipping container? Like, how many people are on this bridge crew?
Okay, let's look up how much is a shipping
container. No, Luke, we can't look anything up. We're doing the math. We gotta just guess.
Okay, empty shipping container. I'm putting at 2,000 pounds.
Okay, great. I say, what do we want to say? Like 20 people to lift this up reasonably.
Sure, let's put 20 people on the line. We've got in there, and they've got like little supports that they can lift it up
from. Yeah, maybe they've put like little wood beams through the bottom that they can like deadlift it up so they can hold it on a wooden beam. Okay, so that's how many to just pick it up.
Yes.
If we want to move at a reasonable pace, let's add 5 people to the mix.
Okay.
So let's say we've got 25 people picking this thing up. Okay. How far are they moving it in a day, Luke?
Okay, because I also think that there's not like a clear path, right?
This is a forest, Luke. And think about our crew getting out of the forest to go to the boat.
I think that a mile would be generous. A mile a day would be very generous.
Okay, I agree. And I think we have to add some people here, Luke, because we need to have people clearing the way.
Yes.
So let's add
another 5.
At least 5 people. So, Luke, we've now come to 30 people. Mm-hmm. We'll move it a mile a day.
That's right.
So, Luke, if we're being conservative, 300 people died to just get the shipping container
right
on location.
That's before we build. That's before the build.
This is before the build. How many? Luke, we had to dig a hole to put the shipping container in.
The other thing is, actually, hang on, because we're forgetting. Because this also takes a lot of coordination.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You have to get a new crew to show up.
Oh, my God. And you have to train them all.
Yeah. But let's say we'll just acknowledge that it's not going to change our numbers.
Yeah.
So we're talking 300 to get it there, and then the build. I have no idea, honestly.
Okay, let's say. Oh my gosh, this is so tough. So, I'm just going to approximate concrete here. Okay, we've got 3 rooms. The rooms feel like they're mostly made of concrete. Is that right? Or were they brick?
I think they're just big concrete squares, basically.
I think there might have been some brick in there because the fireplace has brick. God, can you, the fucking gall of this professor to build a fireplace in here? Are we fucking kidding with this? He was like, well, I want to be cozy. Fuck. Imagine being the worker who carried like 200 pounds of bricks, and then you do it, and the professor's like, hey, I'm gonna go in this little bunker real quick overnight, but you keep working on the chimney, bye. And then the screams start, and you're like, fuck, I was building a chimney for this guy.
So why doesn't he let them come into the bunker with him?
Because he doesn't want to pay them, Luke. Luke, he's a professor. He doesn't have money. He has ideas.
Incredible.
And he's hired a lot of grad students to take those ideas and turn them into reality.
Okay, so let's I don't know if we can really estimate the actual build too much.
Can we just double it? Does it feel safe to double it?
I'm gonna say let's do we start at 300 people to get it there.
Yeah.
I think it would be less than double.
Okay. That's fine. You know, honestly, the numbers are so big at this point. We're talking orders of magnitude. It doesn't matter.
Let's just say it's like 500 people.
Can we say an even 500 people?
Yeah, I think that's reasonable.
Luke, this, if 500 people died over the course of, like, let's say this happens over like a year.
Yeah.
On a work-related accident. Okay, first of all.
Mind you that this is like the Irish countryside.
Yes. Where are these people coming from?
This is just like depleting the stockpile of construction workers
for miles around.
For like the entire region.
Yes. Correct. You have general contractors being like, how come I can't find any roofers anymore? Where are all the roofers?
Oh no. Man. Luke. Okay.
Okay, hold on though, because this gets even deeper. Where did the money come from for this? I get that he didn't pay the workers.
Yeah.
He paid for materials.
Right.
This is a professor who was working for like 2 years, untenured.
You know,
did he tell him he was building AI out in the forest? And they were like, yeah, we'll give you whatever you want.
Right. Was there ever a proposal that actually helped fund this?
Did he write a grant?
And he was like, don't worry about the labor costs. Actually,
we got that covered.
Oh, man. It's bad. It's crazy. It's crazy how little explanation went into this from our author. I appreciate it, actually.
The boldness of our author to say this.
Yes. Because I was, when we were talking about this, or when we were like reading this at the beginning.
Yeah.
I don't remember if we talked about it, but it was like, how did this get built? And I was looking forward to learning something crazy. And did not disappoint.
No. Man, yeah, just wild. 500 good, strong construction workers just disappeared and nobody said anything. No news stories about it even.
Just fed to the Watchers. Man.
Yeah.
A lot of growth for the Watchers during this period.
They're loving it. They're
a big haul for the year of whatever year this was.
You know who's building giant skeletons out in the forest?
Okay. Yes. Oh man, okay, very tough, very bad look for our guy. Not the best person, I'm starting to think.
No, might be one of the worst people of all time, honestly, considering like single responsible death count.
Also for like not a clear goal in mind.
Well,
you know what I mean,
Luke, he really missed his wife though. Okay. Do you think that that's what his main motivation here was? He was just like, I wonder if I can get him to be my wife. I heard that these guys could be my wife.
I heard they could look like her. Yeah. Honestly, shocker. I would have expected this kind of psychopath to bring like a picture of a hot, like a, just a super or something.
100%. Yeah.
It's surprising to me that he would bring a picture of his wife, considering he does not recognize other humans as people.
Right, considering how little he cares about other human beings, yeah, you would think
he
would be trying to make Watcher sex dolls, frankly.
Yes. Which, I'm going to say, actually, does not prove our theory from last week correct, unfortunately.
No, not quite. Luke, I'm curious if you have anything else about our construction, or if we should move on from our building here.
I'm ready to move away from the building setup.
Yeah.
So, okay, we watch this video and we learn we learn all about it.
Yeah.
And then he gives us this hint that there's to the south. There's a river and a boat that we can use to escape.
Yeah.
And I think that initially the idea was they have stuff stockpiled, and so they could eat be and get healthy for a couple days and then make moves, but Madeline thinks it's better to leave immediately. What do you think about this?
I think they should have broken Madeline's ankles. I'm not even joking. Like, I think that is their, that is what they should have done when she was like, I'm going.
Okay, so you think that it would be smarter to wait for a while. You're not buying Madeline's thing if this isn't the healthiest we're going to be.
Correct. Because, like, you've been starving and cold for months.
Right. Also, the days are getting longer.
The days are getting longer. You need to eat. You don't need to leave the bunker for 2 weeks.
Right.
You could just literally stay in the bunker. I get that there's, like, disease up top for some reason that you think exists.
Yeah, that you can physically see.
Yeah. But, like, eat.
Eat and be merry.
Eat and be merry. And I understand. So, when I was reading this, the sense I was getting was they all realized that if they don't go, Madeline's just going to go and take the boat.
Right.
And if that happens, then they're stuck, right?
Yeah.
So, break her legs. And then be like, well, I guess we got to stay until your legs are better, huh?
Sure. Okay. That's one option. Yeah.
You don't even have to be that extreme, though. Like, tie her up at night or something. There are solutions to this problem.
Yeah.
That don't involve, hey, sorry, one of us doesn't have shoes.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, one of us doesn't have any shoes, and you're going to walk further than you've walked in a single day through unfamiliar terrain.
Yeah, and also just, like, I feel like we're not acknowledging as much the fact that literally the days get longer.
Yeah, you have literally more time if you wait.
Yeah, that's huge. That's really important.
Is this crazier than the number of people that died building this thing?
No.
Okay, all right. It just also feels like I get that horror starts when somebody makes a horrible decision, right?
Yes.
But it ends with people making smart decisions.
Yeah.
That didn't happen here. These are all still dumb decisions we're making. We just lucked out, except Daniel. RIP.
Yes. Tough for your guy, Daniel, who you've loved this whole time.
Yeah, been the MVP. Really, really deserved the big eulogy that we gave him at the end.
Okay, but they end up going.
Mm-hmm. No shoes.
No shoes.
I also still think, so like, angry about the no shoes.
Also, just like, I don't think I'm risking it the next day, partially because, like, this is the first time in a very long time that I've had real food, and, like, it's not going to agree with me. I'm going to be doubled over.
You're going to be blasting the woods.
I'm going to be blasting. I'm going to be painting trees on the trip, and I don't have time for that.
It's going to be slowing you down.
Give me a few days to get back to the bean diet that I want to be part of now.
Yes.
And then we can go.
Yeah. Ugh. Okay, but we go, right?
Yes.
We're making the walk. Did you get the sense when Madeline told them this, that they should split up, that she was considering just, like, dipping?
Yeah.
Every time, if I'd have been with this crew, every time Madeline would have been like, hey, we should all split up to find the best path, I'd have been like, I'm not leaving the person with the compass, sorry. Or you're giving it to me.
Right.
Because Madeline, you clearly have, like, I'm leaving you guys behind vibes.
Big I'm leaving you behind vibes. Yes. I don't know. It works out, though, I guess. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I'm curious how far around they ranged and, like, how much time this actually saved.
Yeah.
But it works out. We get to the edge.
Mm-hmm.
We've brought the bird.
Of course.
Got to. The bird is critical to our success. And then Daniel hangs back, and I couldn't tell if he got tricked by the Watcher.
Yeah.
Or if he was like trying to distract them so that the others could get away.
I think it's ambiguous at the end.
Okay.
Because it sort of makes it seem like the things we hear from him is he seems to be calling out to John.
Yeah.
But the way that what's our main character's name again?
Mina.
The way that Mina talks about it, they talk about it like this sort of like a noble sacrifice thing. Which based on what he said, it didn't sound like he was intending to do that. It sounded like he got tricked.
Yeah.
And eaten for it. It sounded like Daniel was kind of an idiot there.
I think actually where I came down is that he got tricked initially. And then when Mina comes back for him, he tells Mina to go because he realized that it's too late. So it's a little, I think it's a little bit of both. But come on, it's not John.
No. We all know. We've already gone through this.
We have. Man, tough death for our guy.
Yeah, to be, you know, you tried so hard and got so far, but in the end,
didn't even matter.
Didn't really matter.
Actually, here's a question for you. Do you think, because, okay, so earlier in the book, John seems to come back and there's this dust up between them because they don't let Sierra go outside, right?
Yes.
What do you think it was, like, were they faking John's screams during this?
Yes, I think so.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Luke, I actually have another question about this. Hey, why didn't you build your house closer to the river?
It's a good question.
Like, why did you build your house barely close enough to the river to be able to escape if you needed to? Why didn't you build your house right next to easy way to transport, I don't know, like a big shipping container to the property that doesn't require like 50 people carrying it? Because also, it's in a big open field. Hey, hold on. You wanted to observe these creatures. Why didn't you build your house in the big open field where they can come out and play and frolic?
It's a good question. It wouldn't have felt as genuine, Dan. He's got to be in the mix.
He needed immersion.
That's right. How else do you learn the language, Dan? You jump in.
So true, Luke. Okay. You know, I hadn't considered immersion as a key part of it, but
yeah,
now it makes sense why he just parked a boat over there, like 15 miles away from his house.
That's right. Yeah. It's the only way to do it. It's the only way to do this research project.
Right. And then abandon it because you... God, the fucking ego on this professor. He's like, hey, I did this research and I couldn't figure it out, so nobody can, so burn it all.
Yeah, this is... Okay, so this is my kind of my next note, which is after... So they end up escaping... Right.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And they decide not to tell anyone.
Yeah.
About it. And on the part of the reason is because the professor has said his wishes, right? Which, like,
sure.
I'm doing the opposite of whatever.
Yeah, I think we're obligated to disrespect his wishes as much as possible.
I am like wrecking people's memories of this man.
Correct.
Okay? Correct. Oh, did you know Professor what's his name? Yeah, did you happen to know that he was the worst person probably in the history of the world as well?
Did you know he would adopt dogs for a week and then just let them go and then just send them out back onto the street? Notorious for this. Notorious.
That's right. So I don't know why we're following his wishes. The other one I can kind of be sympathetic to is their idea that no one will believe them and they'll seem crazy.
Yeah.
Fine.
Luke, hold on, though. Not fine, because all you have to do is be like, hey, do you ever wonder where those 500 construction workers went? I know. I'll break this case wide open.
You guys, listen. You know how no one can build? You know how housing costs have increased? Because we can't build anything anymore? It's because there's a freaking forest a few hours that way that you got to check out, because there's some weird boys in there.
Yes, 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 yes. And I'm going to tell you ahead of time, don't go too deep into it, because you need to be able to get out to tell the story, to bring the military, to bring other people. Because how do we solve problems? It's not by ignoring them, okay? It's not like no one else. Listen, this woman found this place all on her own. She didn't need you telling her that there was a forest here with watchers in it. People just stumbled upon it.
People are dying because of this all the time.
Right, right. Jack and or John and Sierra stumbled upon it, right? Daniel stumbled upon it. People are finding this place. You can't just be like, we need to hide this from the world. It's not hidden. Too late.
Also, like, there's a note, I think, in the previous section, which is like, they all were fortunate enough to make it to the house before nightfall. Oh, yes, but there 100%. Are probably many people that aren't. So, like, people are dying from this thing a lot.
Yeah. Stop covering it up.
God, man. Whoever's in charge of the census in this region needs to get their poop together, because or maybe they're just like oddly enough, the disappearance rate for this stretch of Ireland is just naturally high.
Yeah, they're like, wow, a lot of people leaving this part of Ireland.
Just looking for job opportunities elsewhere, I guess.
Crazy, because the demand for construction labor is through the roof.
Anyway, we're telling people, folks. Yeah.
Ridiculous solution to this problem of like, keep it secret, don't tell anyone.
Okay. Next note. Did you also know that Madeline was his wife? This is unfortunate in that we did this to where the hint came in the latter section. But like, the hint that Madeline was his wife came in this section. And I can't verify this, but I clocked it. Okay.
Okay, what was the hint, Luke? Because I did not clock it. Well, I clocked it.
It's only kind of a hint, but it's just that the professor says that he showed them pictures of his wife.
Oh, yeah.
And then previously, in the previous section, Madeline said that they all looked like her.
Yes. And of course, it does lead you to believe, like, are they one of them? My problem with this, Luke, why isn't she stinky?
She's built different from the others.
Like, Damn. Luke, I didn't pick up on the fact that Madeline was a watcher until she's going around talking about this, like, ancient sealing ritual or whatever with this boulder in front of this big cave. And it's like, okay, how do you know about the sealing ritual? Like, what? How old are you? Like, what is this?
Right. Well, to be fair, up until the very end, I thought that Madeline was like genuinely his wife, and like she had faked her death, like, or something weird had happened a while ago. She faked her death to get away from this man, was my theory.
Mm-hmm. Fair. Luke, you know that Madeline wasn't the only watcher, right?
Like overall, or you mean within our little group?
Within our group.
Ooh, this is a new theory.
You know who else was a watcher?
Gotta be Dan. Daniel.
No, the bird.
The bird.
The bird was a watcher, dude. And Daniel wasn't a watcher. It was actually Daniel's motorcycle that he rode in that was a watcher.
Was the watcher. Okay.
Yeah, that was the watcher. Sure. With John and Sierra, the watcher was actually the bathtub that Sierra was in. At the end, that was the watcher there. Because apparently there's no rules anymore for what can be a watcher. Because I thought watchers all stank like shit and were all gangly and screamed and couldn't really talk. But apparently we have a special category of Watcher that can just be a person now.
Right. Well, they're leveled up Watchers.
Okay. So then the bird is also a Watcher. Did you ever see the bird emote very, very much? The bird's a Watcher.
The bird's a Watcher for sure. Guaranteed.
Peter's a Watcher. The guy who sent her on the bird quest. He's also a Watcher. He was like, oh, my friends are getting hungry. They need some more humans to eat. I'm sending her to the forest with the bird Watcher. That's where that comes from, actually.
Okay. Yes. I see your point. yeah, there's a lot more Watchers than we thought.
And here's the thing. Here's the thing that annoyed me the most about it. If Madeline had stank,
mm-hmm.
I would have been okay with this twist.
Okay.
Because that felt like such a key part of what these creatures were like, was yeah. that they smelled bad.
And yeah, because the other ones that we get are that basically that she always has like a shawl covering her body, and also her like fingers are gross.
Right, and she looks like, it makes sense after this first description of her, because you're like, oh yeah, the description of her doesn't really sound like a person. Like, it does sound sort of strange, these like bodily proportions that she has.
Mm-hmm.
I think effectively you chalk it up to her being there for 2 years.
Right.
You're like, oh, this is just must be how a person gets warped by going through this sort of process. It just felt like you're throwing away a key part of what these things are.
Yeah.
In a way that's like anything. It's anything now.
Yeah.
The house is a Watcher. I don't know.
Well, they have certain limitations, right? Because they can change their face.
Mm-hmm.
And they can like, to some degree, change their body, because like when she's kind of attacking them in Sierra's house,
yes.
her like arms extend really long.
Right.
But they can't change them to be completely normal, I guess, because this is why she does the blanket all the time.
Maybe, but they also can't go out at night or during the day. Oh, wait, just kidding. She can.
Yeah.
I'm saying these limitations, we believe. The author set up some limitations for these creatures that were like, here's the deal with how these creatures work.
Mm-hmm.
And then the author was like, but with Madeline, psych, these don't apply. These three limitations don't actually apply to her.
Right.
And it's like, okay, then do we have some that can perfectly imitate people?
Right. But are these the precursors to humans now, is what I'm hearing?
Ooh, Luke. Now this is deep lore.
yeah, because it's a mess out there.
It's a giant mess out there. I did have a note here about the android being a Watcher before we get this reveal at the end that apparently they are.
Okay, nice. Did you learn this, or when did you come up with this theory?
This was when she was back, when she had come back. And I like had this sort of bubbling up as she was talking about the like Madeline's face not being expressive, and mm-hmm. that's how she could sort of tell. And I was like, oh, if Madeline was able to make it out. And then I was like kind of working on, oh, well, there was another lady who she kept seeing who had a face like that.
Right.
Anyway.
Okay. Would you think of the very end here where... Well, okay, actually, I want to say that it was very scary when they're waiting mm. in the house for Madeline.
I agree.
I kind of enjoyed that.
Mm-hmm. Me too.
The little suspense, little creaks in the house,
mm-hmm.
pretty good. And then what do you think Ooh. Of Madeline kind of being on their side?
I do like it. I don't think it would have made sense if Madeline wasn't on their side
mm-hmm.
because like, why did she keep them around for so long after she found a way to escape? She didn't even really need to escape, right? Like, right, she could like have just walked just out.
Leave. Yeah.
So that did make sense to me. I wonder if you had the same moment that I did where when Mina showed up at the house at the end, did you have a moment where you're like, is this Madeline actually disguising herself as Mina?
Yes, I did. Yeah.
I don't know if it was intentional by the author or not. It didn't feel like it was intentional because it never got played.
Mm-hmm.
The author never winked at us of like, hey, it's not Mina, but you almost thought it was, or it's not Madeline. But I guess it does make sense to me. And it seems like Madeline was just doing this for self-preservation.
Mm-hmm.
Which is also why she's so committed to them destroying evidence of the forest, because she doesn't want probably the military from trying to figure out who's a watcher.
Right. Yeah.
Which is, I guess, fair enough. I don't know, though. Just go live in the forest with your other watcher friends. I don't...
She's bored there, Dan. They don't know how to play basketball. They can't figure out the rules.
All they do is scream and walk around like bugs. What do you think they do when they're not chasing people down? Like, how... That... Okay. They have to be so pissed now that these people have left because they've got, like, literally nothing to do anymore.
Yeah.
Like, the sitcom live studio audience show just ended. And they're like, well, what are we going to do now?
Yeah. Well, I mean, the show has only been on for like 3 years.
Yeah, but at this point, now they're invested.
They're like, now we've seen what we've been missing. Because they've been there for like hundreds of years, if not longer.
It seems like millennia, potentially.
Yeah. And so now they're like, we could have been watching people this whole time.
We've been calling ourselves watchers and we've never even watched anybody.
We've got a taste for watching. We got to explore this.
They're like, you can't cancel it in the middle of the season.
Yeah.
I need to know how it ends.
I mean, we see how outraged they get
mm-hmm.
with the initial interruption. So,
right.
I don't know. Maybe they're expanding territory after this.
Now all they have are like shitty AI knockoffs of the characters.
Yeah.
That just scream through the night.
It can't get their fingers right. It's a mess. Yeah. I think they're getting sick of just crawling over each other all night in the tunnels. And so they're gonna start branching out.
Poor watchers, I say.
Poor we feel for the watchers in this. Real sympathetic characters. Mm-hmm. What do you think about the it's kind of a like sets up sequels and stuff like that.
It does. I feel like the very last chapter or two, I was heavy skimming these last couple of chapters.
Okay.
I made it to the very end where this reveal happens, but I feel like a big part of it, I was skimming Mina just being traumatized for all of March and February. And I was like, I get it, Mina. You went through something. I agree. It probably was bad. I don't need to like read in detail about you at the bar, though. Like,
right.
I get it. You're really, it's weird to be out in public again. Just, is there another watcher? What's happening?
Yeah. So, I agree. So, okay, let's just go here to reviews then. So I actually liked the very ending that it kind of sets up. Like, I'm not sure if I'll read it or if we'll read it on the pod. My guess is no, but we'll see. But I liked it. I kind of thought that an interesting concept being played with here. Overall, I think I'm pretty positive on the book. I think it was well written. I think occasionally we maybe went too in detail on the inner monologues of some of the characters, but I think it was. I think there was some good scary elements to it. Very intriguing concept. I go back and forth on whether I think that the lack of thought over building the bunker is a pro or con. But it's definitely one of those two because it was absurd.
Definitely food for thought.
Food for thought, certainly. But overall, I think I really enjoyed it.
Luke, this is going to be the first time in a while we're going to disagree because I did not like this book very much at all.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
Yeah. I thought that honestly, this reminded me of like a creepypasta premise, which I was kind of liking at first. But I do not like how the author sets up like tension. It feels like they drag on the tension for too long before getting to the payoff. And the two examples that are like really apparent for me are when they're going to the boat, and it feels like it is too dark for too long before the watchers like come out and start getting them. Like, it feels like the author is constantly like, darkness is imminent, darkness is imminent. Yeah. And that's for like 10 pages. And I'm like, okay, is it going to be dark? Yeah. So that was one of the examples. And the other example was just the, like, you know, when the book continued, there had to be another thing. Yep. Like, it couldn't just be like, and then she lived happily ever after. And I was just like, okay, what's the next
thing? I was wondering if my Kindle was messing with me. 'Cause I was like, this is supposed to end here soon.
Yes. And I did like the chapters in February were good, but I thought the chapters in after we found out what happened with Madeline, there was too much stuff with Mina after that to get to the buildup about her finding other watchers. I was just like I said, I was skimming it at the end.
You think it should have just been like next day kind of?
Yeah, because it didn't give us anything new that she was like still not really comfortable in public.
Yeah.
It just felt like we already knew that. She already told us about that in the like immediate aftermath.
Sure.
And so I just kind of was like, let's move this along a little bit quicker. And then a small thing that's I think really annoying. She never named the bird, did she?
No, I don't think so.
What the fuck? At least you have to give this thing a name, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
At some point, name it. You could even name it Daniel at the end if you want to be like, this is, you know, an homage to this person who I remember with the bird.
Right.
But nothing? No name for it. It's just the golden one or the yellow one or whatever.
Yeah. It deserves better than that. I agree.
We all deserve better than that. So, yeah, I thought the premise was good. It was interesting and, like, kind of unique. But I thought the execution was just really not working for me. And the thing with the bunker explanation was so juvenile. It felt like somebody who didn't think a lot about practically how to make their book work and was just like, I can't figure this out. So I'm just going to say he had a bunch of workers that all died.
That one's incredible. I loved it.
So, and I mean, like, to be fair, too, the author could have used that as a statement about, like, the sort of disposability of labor in our world, and could have used it as a statement too of like how I mean, a lot of the times in the US, like, immigrant labor is seen as like what's the word, like, overlooked, like people don't really think about immigrant laborers doing work. And the author could have made that the explanation for why nobody came looking for them, and talked just a little bit about how the professor was exploiting immigrant labor. And that would have been even, you didn't even have to change how it was built. It would have just been like, oh, the author is making kind of a point here about people like this, and this is a thing that sort of happens in our world already. So this gives me a way of being like, oh, okay, I could see how there's like some connection here with this. It didn't even give us that though. And so I was just finding myself a lot more frustrated with this than I was excited to keep going. So my review is not nearly as positive as Luke's, but you know, that's okay.
Fair enough.
That's all
fair
right.
Enough. Yeah. I mean, I don't disagree with a lot of what you said, I guess, but I enjoyed it much more. Okay.
But we're not done, Luke.
We're not done. That's right. We're going to see if it can come to the big screen in a way that fixes all your qualms.
That's right, Luke. And I feel like there's a lot of potential here, because as I was reading this, thinking about the fact that we were going to watch the movie, like I'm imagining a lot of amazing scenes that could happen, right? With this big glass window.
I do think that this is kind of well suited for a movie, because there was, as you said, there's a lot of space in here that can be removed. And we can streamline it a little bit to fit into, I think, a movie time frame.
Yeah.
So I'm looking forward to it, actually.
Yeah, a lot of potential here. So we're going to watch that film.
Yes.
We're going to be reading some creepypasta this week as well.
Yes.
Get out your fork and knife. Luke, get the Parmesan cheese ready.
Naturally.
And we will be back next week, bringing the hot takes
and being dumb nerds.